about this word here, you know, because it applies to me also. Do you know whenever I come up here to bring forth a word, it's for me too? And a lot of times it's for me more so than you. You know, a lot of times I say, Lord, you could have told me that upstairs instead of having me in front of these people and bringing these things forth to me. But I'm going to pray, Father, that this day that we all will get this word. Anybody know what a POW is? Prisoner of war. Do we have veterans in the house today? We want to honor you, veterans. Stand up, veterans. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Is that Rose up there? Where's your husband? All right. Praise the Lord. How you doing, husband? Good to see both of y'all. Amen. 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 Yes, yes, yes. Billy swallowed the nail. Rose and her husband, they got married here, what, about, how long you been married? How long? 3 months? Praise the Lord. You know, and they're from the great nation of Haiti, and she's a soldier, and he's a doctor. You know, they're servants of the Lord. You know, praise the Lord. I'm so glad to see y'all this morning. Miss you. Amen. And all the rest of you. Dakota, it's good to see you too. I didn't recognize her. I said something was different about her. Maybe it's that glow. Maybe you got a glow going on about you. So praise the Lord. But anyway, let's get back to what God has given. POW, a prisoner of war, is what a POW is. And when our soldiers go out to have battle, and when they're captured by the enemy, they're prisoners of war. They're put into a facility, a jail or a prison camp or whatever that is. And so, therefore, when they're a prisoner of war, when they get caught by the enemy, they do not have the freedom to live their life the way God has called them to. There's a lot of people in church today. Maybe it might be one of you. Might be a POW. Might not be a POW from, you know, the Taliban or somebody else, but, you know, we're in spiritual warfare. Do you know that? Do you know that? We're in spiritual warfare. And so many people who are in the church or in Christ are POWs. They're spiritual prisoners. Spiritual prisoners. You know, the Bible says we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against all the things that Satan has in his little demons. So therefore, as Christians, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man or woman be in Christ, he's what? A new creation. And what? All things are passed away. All things are passed away. And behold, all things become new. And behold, you know what the word behold means? That see. That you can see all things become new. As I look around the room, I see people, you know, who have come out of all type of addictions. They come out of all type of different things that you've been involved in your life. You come out of it and you're walking in a new life in Christ now. But there's some areas in your life, you might be walking in freedom and some things, but there's some things you're still POWs. You got some thoughts maybe that's not keeping you from walking in freedom. It could be anger. It could be bitterness. It could be unforgiveness. It could be feeling unworthy. It could be feeling that my poverty. There's so many things that will keep us from walking in that total freedom. You're in church on Sundays, and you come to hear a word to encourage you, and you get encouraged. But soon as you walk out of church, sometimes that thing hits you. Sometimes it's hitting you right in church, whatever you're going through. Sadness. There's so many things. Potty mouth. Y'all got quiet on the potty mouth thing, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Might not have got rid of that potty mouth when you get angry. You know, whatever it might be. It could be alcohol, could be nicotine, could be fried chicken, potato chips, gluttony is what I'm getting to. You know, could be, you know, whatever it might be. You know, we got all kinds of things that we deal with that keep us prisoners. Could be not letting nobody wash your feet. Yeah. You wanted to talk about the pastor, didn't you? Mm-hmm. I got the microphone now, Betty. Mm-hmm. Now, the Bible says if Jesus washed your feet, we should wash each other's feet, right? Ain't that what the Bible says? Y'all remember that, because it's coming. Now, I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to the book of Romans 7. And once again, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. But anyway, the spiritual POW, you know, what we call it in biblical terms is stronghold. In biblical terms, that prisoner of war, it means strongholds. That we're in a hold that is strong. Something is holding us that is strong that we can't walk in freedom. For those of us who know this here, that when we got put in time out for doing things that we shouldn't have been doing, we were in a place that would hold us. And there were bars, there were concrete walls, there were big lock on the doors. Do I get an amen? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. We were in a strong place that was holding us, that we couldn't just walk around and walk outside and go to KFC and all of that. Couldn't do what you wanted to do. You had to do what they told you to do, when they told you to do it, how they told you to do it. You were in a holding place that held you strong that you couldn't get out of. Some people are still in a stronghold this morning. But by the grace of God and by the Holy Spirit, when you walk out of here, you won't be in this stronghold. Because once again, you can't do it yourself. How many times have we tried to do it ourselves? We said we wasn't going to do it no more. I'm not going to get high no more. I'm not going to cuss no more. I'm not going to treat my wife this way no more. I'm not going to treat my husband this way no more. I'm not going to treat my mother, my father that way anymore. Whatever it might be. How many times have we said that and we tried to clean ourselves up? And then the next thing you know, we're right back in it again and again and again. In the book of Romans 7, this is Apostle Paul. Now, Apostle Paul, he was one of the greatest Christians that ever lived. Right? Right? He wrote more than half of the New Testament. But he also was one of the greatest persecutors of the church in history of mankind. But God used him. What I'm saying to you, I don't care what you've done in your past. I don't care what you've done in your past. If any man or woman be in Christ, behold all things, he's a new creation. Behold all, forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting those things that you've done in the past. The problem with that is man won't forget it. Man will not forget your past, but God will. I had an incident here this past week or two, and I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I was trying to purchase something, and it was a long shot. So we went to the gun shop, and me and some of my other good friends went to the gun shop and went to go purchase some guns. And the one, 10 minutes later, oh, you can take yours and go on home. So I'm sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting. So they said, well, might take a little time, Reverend. Now, I'm the pastor of these men in there. One got his, and he's all happy. You know, and the other one, he's happy. And I'm waiting, and I'm sweating. I'm their pastor now. And the people are looking at me like, hmm. So anyway, I just got a call here the other day that they denied me again. Again. You know, and I'm thinking, okay. You know, I've been behaving myself. You know, I've been trying to do the right thing for many, 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 many years now. You know, I haven't had any charges against me. I haven't been arrested for anything. You know what I mean? I don't even have any tickets, speeding tickets or anything. But yet, they denied me. You know why? Because of my past. Because of my past. And I was a little upset. I was a little upset. I said, why can't I be like the other boys? They got theirs. Why can't I have mine? But I said, well, evidently God don't want me to have one. Amen. I got a slingshot, though. That's right. I got a slingshot and a stick. Praise the Lord. I'm like David. Anyway, I was just saying that God will forgive, but man will not. Your past will follow you all the days of your life here on earth. And so we need to be ready for that. But you know what? After I went through my little, you know, poor me syndrome, I know y'all don't like me to say that, but it's what it is, you know. And I was feeling down and whatever. You know, the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder and said, let me tell you something, man. You're free in me. Quit feeling bad. Quit feeling down. Quit feeling like, you know, you don't matter. Just look to me. Look to me. You're free in me. Amen? You're free in me. Romans 7, I'm going to start in 14. This is Apostle Paul. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. This is Apostle Paul now. The law is spiritual, but Paul says, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. And what I would that do, I not. But what I hate, that I do. He said, I know I should do this to do the right thing, but I don't. I know I shouldn't do this, but I do it. Now, this is Apostle Paul talking, a man chosen by God. This is after the road to Damascus. You understand what I'm saying? This is not before salvation. This is not before God had called him. This is after that. He said, the things that I should be doing as a Christian, I don't do. And the things I shouldn't be doing as a Christian, I'm doing them. Can I get a witness? Huh? Can I get a witness? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes with our holy self, we don't do the right thing, do we? Sometimes after Christ, you know, some of that old stuff follows along with us, don't it? Huh? I got an amen over here. I ain't getting none over here. Can I get an amen over here? Can I get an amen up there? All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So what I'm saying is, you know, we all have issues. We all got stuff that we go through. Amen? That's one of the things why the foot washing thing, let's get back to that, Elder. He thought he was off the hook. Do you know the reason why they washed people's feet back in the old days? Because they wore sandals and flip-flops like other people wear in 30-degree weather. They wear sandals and so they're walking through the streets. And see, they didn't have street cleaners back then. And, you know, the animals walked through the streets, too. had a herd of cows, herd of sheep, herd of goats. You know what I mean? They walking all through the streets. And so when you know the herd walks, the stuff that they leave behind. And so the people are walking behind them and walking all around them. So, you know, they get a little something on their feet. And so when they come in somebody's house, they have a servant there to wash your feet. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how much Bible you know. Your feet got stuff on it. Residue from walking in the world. We have residue from walking in the world. Amen. And we got to get that off of us because it builds up and builds up. Have you ever been in somebody's house? Are you ever, wives, your husband come home and they take their shoe off? Some of y'all know. Woo! Oh, my goodness. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You say, honey, set them shoes outside. Huh? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. Isn't that right, Sister Betty? Praise the Lord. Amen. Payback is something, man. He said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. He says, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, is no more that I that do it, but that sin that dwelleth in me. I want to do the right thing. I want to serve God. I want to be in the righteous place of God. But it's not me, but it's a sin within me that's making me not do the right thing. It's the sin within me that's making me not do the right thing. And he says, For I know, verse 18, for I know that in me that is in my flesh, I know that within me, within my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. There's no good thing that dwelleth in our flesh. Do you know that? For to will is present with me, but how to perform it, which is good, I find not. I'm trying to do the right thing, but I can't find out how to do it. I want to do the right thing, but I don't know how to do it. I want to live a life that's pleasing unto God, but I don't know how to do it. Week after week, month after month, year after year, I thought I would not do that anymore. I didn't think that I would think those things anymore. I didn't think that I would say those things anymore, but boom, there they go. Here it comes out. These thoughts, these different things. I didn't think that I would do them. Circumstances come up, and we're supposed to be Christians, right? Supposed to love our brothers. Supposed to be good Samaritans. But all of a sudden, we see stuff on the news, and our minds say, Y'all got quiet on that one, didn't you? Yeah. We're all created in an image and the likeness of God. Everyone. Tall, short, skinny, fat. Everybody's created in an image and the likeness of God. This thing that happened down in Atlanta here the other day broke my heart. Broke my heart. And it's happening all over. It's happening all over. And let me tell you something, it's going to be happening to us. So get ready, Christians, because persecution is coming. Persecution is coming. And we need to be ready for it. And that's why I'm bringing this here today for you, so you can have the strength and the tenacity and the commitment and the devotion for when it comes in your house, when it knocks on your door, you can stand with your head high, your shoulders back, and say, yes, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm a Christian. Absolutely, I am. And I'm not going to apologize for it. Yes, we're going to stand up for Jesus. Absolutely. Because it's coming, church. Persecution is coming. And so the Apostle Paul says,
For the good that I would, I do not. For the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more that I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present within me. I try to do the right thing, but evil is present within me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Let's stop there. After the inward. You know who the inward man is? The Holy Spirit. I delight to do thy law after the inward man. The inward man wants to do the right thing. The inward man is the only one that's capable of doing the right thing. But that flesh, remember he talked about the flesh? The flesh, there's no good in none of the flesh. I don't care how much you want to do it or try to do it or pull yourself up by the bootstrap or whatever else. You cannot do it. You cannot live a life for Jesus Christ in the flesh. And that's what's been going on with so many people. Week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, trying to live a life according to Jesus Christ in the flesh. And you cannot do it, church. Hear me well. It has to be in the inward man. It has to be through the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, that we have victory. And only through that, church. It's not about hearing a bunch of sermons. Not about reading the Bible all the time. Not about praying all the time. But it's about that inward man. You know, our mind being renewed. It's about letting yourself go and let the Holy Spirit within you lead you and guide you into all truth and all righteousness. Now listen to what it says. I'm almost done there. Maybe. And it says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Now I see another law warring against my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin. So what he's saying is, there's a partition. There's a partition. What my flesh, I'm serving the law of sin, but what my mind and my spirit, I'm serving the law of the Spirit of God. There's a partition. On Sunday, today, your partition is you're on the side of God's partition. On Monday, maybe not even Monday, maybe about 1 o'clock, you're back over here. So with the law of sin, amen? How many of us, we hear the word of God, we shout, we praise, we clap, we all that type of stuff, but then when you walk out of here or the next day or something, you're right back over in that life of sin, that life of doing not the right thing. Come on, church, let's be honest. He says, I see another law warring against the mind, the law of my mind, and bringing to me the captivity of the law of sin, which is in my memory. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death? Question mark. Let me tell you who. Jesus Christ, period. Let me say it again. Jesus Christ, period. At that question mark on here, at verse 24, you put after that Jesus Christ, period. If you write in your Bible, like I do, some of y'all don't, but I do, write in that Jesus Christ, period. That's who will deliver you from the body of death. That's who it is. Now, once again, here we got that partition. We got the partition. And you know them little cartoons and stuff. On one shoulder you got the angel, on the other shoulder you got the devil. And the angel's telling you to do the right thing. Be nice, speak good, don't be mad, don't be angry, you know, forgive, do this. And the other one, like, don't you forgive. You know what they done to you. Cuss them out. You know? Y'all know what I'm talking about. One's a good one, and the other one's is the evil one. And they're fighting against one another. They're fighting against one another. You know, there's an old proverb in the American Native tradition. You have two wolves. One wolf is a vicious wolf. He's vicious, kills everything that gets around him. And the other one is a very nice one. He'll protect you. You know, he will come and cut up on you. When it's cold, you know, you can lay on him and you can be warm. He's a good one, but the other one's vicious. And they say, well, which one are you going to keep? Which one do you want to have? And they said, the one that you feed. If you feed the vicious one, he gets stronger. And if you don't feed the nice one, he gets weaker. And as the stronger one gets stronger, the weaker one gets weaker. And so the dominant one is the one that you feed. Did you get that, church? The flesh or the spirit? Which one are you feeding? The flesh or the spirit? And the way that you can tell which one you're feeding is your attitude and your actions. Your attitude and your actions. Let's see your, it says, you will know them by their fruit. You will know them by how they live their life. Now, once again, everybody in here, y'all dressed up, everybody nice and spiritual and happy and everything. What's going to happen when you get home tonight or tomorrow? Mm-hmm. What kind of language are you going to be using? What kind of thoughts are you going to be having? What kind of way that you're going to be doing? That's how you can examine yourself to see where you be of the faith, church. You might be able to fool me and everybody sitting around next to you, but let me tell you something. There's going to be a day that we're going to account for every idle deed and every idle word. Everything. We're going to have to account for it, church. Do you know that? We ain't going to get away with nothing. Not one thing. And Elder Paul was teaching Sunday school. If y'all missing Sunday school, y'all missing a good thing. He's really bringing it. You know, he's really bringing a good message here. You know, and he was saying, on the day that we stand before Jesus, he's going to say one or two things. And I say this all the time. He's going to say either, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter the joy of the Lord, or depart from me, I never knew you. Oh, well, we prophesied in your name. We healed the sick in your name. We cast out demons in your name. Lord, we did all these good things. And he said, depart from me, because I never knew you. You see. I never had a relationship with you. You never surrendered your life to me. You fed that mean wolf, that fleshly wolf. And so now, when the time of judgment comes, all your good works and all your grinning and skinning and all that type of stuff ain't gonna get you into heaven. You need to ask yourself this. When you stand before Jesus and he asks you, why should I let you in heaven? You need to ask yourself that. Do you have an answer for that? Do you have an answer for that? And if you don't, you need to get one. You need to get one. So anyway, so we talked about what Paul says. Paul says, you know, these things that I want to do. I want to live right. I want to live spirit, but I can't do. Let me say, tell you something I did here when I went to, y'all know I went away for a couple of weeks here, a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever, you know, and this was brewing in me then. And what I did was I read Romans 6, 7, and 8 every day over and over and over again. And I'm going to give you a little commission. Read Romans 6, 7, and 8. Every day for a week. Romans 6, who you are in Christ. It tells you who you are in Christ. Romans 7, it tells you struggling with sin. That partition. But oh, Romans 8. Oh, when you get to Romans 8. How to overcome that double-minded or being in that portion. Because that's what that thing is, the double-minded. And you know what James says about being a double-minded person? You will receive nothing. You can't ask nothing of God. Let's go to the double-minded. What is that? It's a division in your mind. Right now, everybody's mind is on this side in the church, on God's side. Where's your mind going to be tomorrow? Where are you going to be tomorrow? It's a division in your mind. There should not be a division in your mind in a child of God. We should have our focus on Jesus and Jesus only. All of this other stuff that's going on in the world, what it is, it's a distraction. It's a distraction. It wants to make you either fearful, angry, confused, bitter. That has nothing to do with God. If you stop and think about it, when you're thinking about these things that's going on in the world and all this crazy stuff that's going on, how does it make you feel? Do you have joy and do you have peace?
Mm-hmm.
You need to take a hammer and throw it through the TV. All that crazy stuff that's going on. Watch Andy Griffith. Goma Powell. Matlock. All right, Matlock, you know. Amen, praise the Lord. Turn all this other crazy stuff off. You know what I loved about all them shows? You ain't had to worry about running around nobody half-naked in the show. You ain't had to worry about seeing no two men kissing each other and all that kind of stuff. You know, matter of fact, back in that day, you know, when they had the bedroom, they had two beds. A husband and wife on a TV show, they had two beds. Dick Van Dyke. All right. Praise the Lord. But now they got everything going on. You turn on TV now, I mean, it's X-rated, X-rated. I mean, all kind of crazy stuff going on. You know about it. And then all this crazy stuff that's going on around the world, all this news and all this kind of crazy mess. Does it give you peace and joy? Does it make you love your fellow man? You need to think about that, church. Now, that double-minded, that division of the mind. Once again, you're thinking two things: God on Sunday and the devil on Monday through Saturday. That old sinful mind must be destroyed. That old sinful mind, that side that is sinful, that side that is not of God, it has to be destroyed, not remodeled. See, that's what's trying to be happening in the church today. They're trying to remodel people. No, 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 no. It's not about remodeling. It's about destroying it. It's about destroying it and having that new life in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? A remodeled creation? Is that what it say? It said he's a new creation. How do you become a new creation? That old one has to die. That old one has to die. It can't be remodeled, church. Don't be trying to put no painting and new walls and all. No, no, it has to die. It has to go to the cross and it has to die. I tell y'all this all the time. When we say that we're crucified with Christ, and then I want to make an appointment with my brother Morris. Brother Morris, we're going to go to lunch tomorrow, but I'm going to get crucified today. You're going to say, well, Pastor, how are you going to go to lunch tomorrow if you're going to die today? How can I make plans for tomorrow if I'm going to die today? If I'm going to die today, I'm done. All my plans for tomorrow and anything else is gone. Oh, but when I'm resurrected, when I have a new nature, when I'm born again, and have that new nature, then that's when I can come with that new nature. Say, Brother Morris, we're going to lunch, but you're going to lunch with a new person. You ain't going to lunch with that old one that used to use that foul language, that used to be angry all the time, that used to be this, used to be that, you know, all that. No, 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 no. You're going to lunch with a whole new person, my brother. You understand what I'm saying? Not a remodeled person, not putting on a new suit, new clothes, putting on some high karate. Some of y'all young people don't even know nothing about high karate. Some of y'all do. Pray, look at you laughing. You know about high karate, don't you? Praise the Lord. But anyway, We have the old man has to be destroyed. The word sets you free. Let's go to John. And as you go to John 8. And as you go into John 8, I'm a tell you about Romans 12, 1 through 3. I want you to go to John 8. But in Romans 12, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reason. That you present your body a living sacrifice. You know what presenting your body a living sacrifice is? I surrender. I surrender unto you, and I'm making my body a living sacrifice. And as I'm surrendering my body unto you, Lord, as the Holy Spirit, as I surrender you, you will give me a new spirit. You'll be renewing my mind that I can be holy and acceptable unto God, not holy and acceptable unto the church, not holy and acceptable to your wife or your husband, but holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. That's what I should be doing. That's the least that I can do for what you've done for me. While I was yet a sinner, Christ still died for me. All the sin that we have done and will do, Christ died for us, that we can go to him after we sin. And 1 John 1:9, confess our sins to him, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. And the least that we can do for him is present our body a living sacrifice. Oh, church, if we get that in us, the things that Christ has done for us, you'd be running down the altar, surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. It says, I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reason, and to be not conformed to this world, to be not on this side of that petition, be not conformed of this world. Do not have the mindset, the action, the mouth, and all of that of the world. Because everything in the world is lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life on this side. But on this side is holiness and righteousness. It's goodness. It's mercy. It's grace. So which one would you want to feed? Which one do you want to serve? Before surrendering, we only knew one side. But when Jesus chose us and put his finger on us, he said, I want to bring you out of that darkness. I want to bring you out of off that side over there. I want to bring you on the good side. And we say yes to the Lord. But there's still some stuff lingering. You know, the Bible says there's two gates, a wide gate that many go down. A wide gate, you can bring everything with you. You can have a wagon with you. You can have a rental truck, what a U-Haul, and you go and you're in that wide gate, and you can bring all that baggage with you, all that mess with you on the wide gate, and like yes, 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 praise the Lord, I'm on this, and everybody and says and many be on that wide gate, everybody walking down the wide gate, singing all kind of hymns and. I love Jesus and Jesus loved me, and you got all that stuff that you're pulling behind you and thinking that you own your way to eternal life with Jesus Christ. And what does it say? That it leads to what? Destruction. But yet you're at church every Sunday. Hipping and hopping. Praising the Lord. You know all of that. But you bringing all that stuff behind you. But it says there's a narrow gate that few be that find it. The narrow gate, you can't bring none of that mess with you. You can't bring none of that stuff with you. It says, it's few be that find that narrow gate. You got to leave all of that baggage, all of that sinful, earthly, fleshly stuff behind. And it says, few be that find it. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. And the reason that I'm bringing forth the word to you the way I do is because I want you to be the one who is chosen. I want you to be the one that goes to find that narrow gate and go through that narrow gate. And not thinking that you can continue to live a life of Jesus Christ and still live like you did in the world. And still have the same mindset, the same mouth, and the same attitude and everything else as you did before you came, that you call yourself coming to Christ. You still got all that stuff. And thinking, I'm good. I'm good to go. No, you're not good to go. No, you're not. Now, Jesus said that. I'm just quoting Jesus. Don't shoot the mailman. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. That we got to come right, church. You can't come in living any kind of way, thinking that you're going to go to heaven. You know, I do a lot of funerals, you know, and they have rest in peace. Let me tell you something. If you ain't in Christ, you ain't resting in peace. Trust me on that. Trust me on that. Oh, this is they in a better place. No, they ain't. If you ain't in Christ, you ain't in a better place. But if you're in Christ, you're still not in a better place. Because a better place could be down in Miami. 85 degrees, sunshine. Huh? Ain't that right, Brother Lydon? He just come down there to Florida. Look how tan he is. Praise the Lord. He come from the Sunshine State. Amen. You know, that's a better place. No, it's the best place. It's in heaven. Amen? It's the best place for those of us in Christ. I'm almost done. Praise the Lord. But anyway, so I told y'all John 8. Okay, John 8, and I'm going to start in verse 31. Now, hear this if you ain't heard nothing else. This is what will set you free. This is what gets you out of that bondage. That's what gets you out of that POW camp, that prisoner of war camp. That's what will get you out of these strongholds that will let you go. Whatever your stronghold might be, like I said, it might be the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. Everything that we go through is tied up under the umbrella of one of them three. It says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, not the church's word, not Dr. Phil's word, not Oprah's word, but if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Remember that word, indeed. Why didn't he say, well, then you are my disciples? He put that word, indeed. If you continue in my word, if you are obedient to my word, if you follow my word, if you believe my word, you are my disciples. Do you know what a disciple is? It's a follower of Jesus, a learner of Jesus, it's a student of Jesus. He said, if you continue in my word, not the government, not in anything else, but in my word, period. He says, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know, not think, not maybe, not might, not guess. Then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? Let's read that again, because this is so important, church. We have missed this for so long in the church. We read about all the promises of God. We read about, oh, bless me, me, I. We all of that type of stuff there. But and we come for prayer, you know, and I want to be delivered. I want to be free. You know, I want to stop this thoughts that I have. I want to stop, you know, get this bitterness out of me. I want whatever it might be, you know, alcohol, pornography, drugs, nicotine, gluttony, whatever it might be, that you're not free, that you're a POW. a spiritual POW. You got a strong, that the enemy has a stronghold on you. And you've been trying to break that stronghold over and over and over again. But you just can't break free of it. And he says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? Shall. Shall. Y'all know what the word shall mean? In the Hebrew and in the Greek, the word shall means shall. Will be. You will be free. Not no, maybe not no might, not no hope, but you will be free. You will be free. There's nothing under the sun that can stop you from being free. You shall be free. Not maybe not might. You shall, but you will be free. You can take that to the bank. You shall be free. So let's go back here. If you continue in my word, what is the word? In the beginning was the word? The word was with God and what? And the word was God. In the beginning was the word. In the beginning of what? In the beginning of everything. We don't know when the beginning was. But in the beginning was the word. So the word was from the eons before creation was. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. Here's the word. The word was with God, and the word what? Was God. So you see, and then you go down to the 14th verse of that chapter, and it says, and the word done what? Became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So what is the word? Jesus Christ. As I said when I first started, it's about Jesus Christ, period. And being real with him, church. Not just on Sundays, but every day, all day long. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So here we go. So it says, the word sets us free, right? And that what it said? It said the word, it says, the word shall make you free. Ain't that what it say? All right, let's go over. So why aren't we free? We've been in the word. We believe in Jesus, right? We've surrendered our life to Jesus. So why are we not walking around in that abundant life and that freedom that he's talking about? I'm glad you asked me. So now, let's go to that same chapter and the 36th verse. If the Son, therefore, now listen, if the Son, who's the Son? So we're talking about Jesus. It said the Word will make you free, which is Jesus. It says, now, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, y'all missing it. 32, it says that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. All right, I'm free. But now it says, and if the Son therefore shall make you free, you should be free indeed. Now, once again, if the Son shall make you free, you should be free indeed. But what he's saying is, if the Son shall set you free, the Word will make you free, and the Son will set you free. Y'all get that? Some of y'all will get this here. Some of y'all who had been a little naughty and you had to go to time out. They put bracelets on you and they put you in the back of the car. They transport you and they take you down to the timeout room. The stronghold that we talked about earlier, right? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all have put people in the stronghold room, right? Okay, some of y'all been there. So anyway, so you get there and you go through your processing. They put you in the holding cell and you go through arraignment, and the judge says, okay, now, you know, this is your charge, and you're going to have to come to court on such and such a date, and I set your bail at whatever charge you did, that's how they set you. Well, let's say we'll set your bail at $5,000. Right? Okay. So you done the crime. You done the crime. You got caught with it. Now you're in the jail. You're in the stronghold. You're in a timeout. And you got a bail of $5,000. You call Don Foote. Brother Foote, I'm in a jam. I'm in a jam. And they say, okay, brother, you know, what's going on? Well, I'm down here. I'm in a stronghold. I've been a little naughty. And I need some help. Okay. What kind of help you need? I need some bail money. Okay. How much you need? Well, it's $5,000. Okay. Let me run down there. Donnie Foote gets in his SUV. He got that nice little red SUV. And he runs down there. And he reaches in his pocket and pull out $5,000. Boom, 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 boom. Don't call Donnie Foote then. Leave Donnie Foote alone. He gonna leave you in there. Amen. Let's call Brother Marzano back then. Mr. Marzano. Not the little one, the big one. Right? Who drives that really nice Mercedes with the drop top that he's going to give me one day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyway, he ain't going to give it to that one sitting over there or that one sitting up there. He going to. Me, right? Say yes. Okay. We got that recorded. Lita, did you record that? Anyway, you call him and you say, I need $5,000. No problem. I'm jumping his Mercedes, put the top back, going down there, boom, 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 boom. And so now your bail is paid. They come to the holding cell and they say, listen, your bail is paid. Your bail is paid. Okay? So you know that your bail is paid. So now you're free, right? You're free. Your bail is paid. He's done everything that the judge told him to do. Your bail is paid. But yet, you're still sitting in the cell. My bail is paid, but I'm free, but I'm still sitting in the cell. Why am I sitting in the cell? I've been made free by the bail. But until they do the paperwork and go through the process, I'm still sitting. Right? It's not until the CEO comes and say, bundle up. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. When they tell you, get your bundle and go, you roll up your mattress, you know, you get your little whatever you got to do, you know what I mean? You get the rest of the guys your cup of soup and your honey buns and your commissary. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. That's a good day, boy, when you do. Anyway. So as the CEO comes and tell you to get your stuff together and he walks you out of there and he walks into the room and you take that beautiful jail uniform on and put your clothes on and you walk out of there and they open that last gate, you're free indeed. You're free indeed. But it's not until you walk out of there is till you're free indeed. So many people, the bail has been paid. The price has been paid on the cross for us to be free. But we have not been free indeed. And the only one that can make you free indeed, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And that's what I want you to walk out of here today. The indeed. To be free indeed. From whatever the stronghold is that's been holding you back. From doing what God has called you to do. The purposes in which God has called you to do. The things that has been making you miserable, angry, sad, mad, or whatever it is. Because Jesus said, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. Some of y'all are mad because of maybe a past relationship. Somebody done something to you. Somebody, you might be bitter about something. Somebody done said to you, done something to you. Some of y'all might be mad at me about something bitter. I get that all the time. Get notes up under my door. And I know your handwriting. Leave me them nasty notes. I know who it is. I know who you are. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to put a camera next to my door. Might already have one. So quit leaving me them nasty notes. Anyway, what I'm saying is, in order to walk in true freedom indeed, the Holy Spirit, it's all about the Holy Spirit, church. It's all about the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. He says, when I go, I will send another. I will send another to witness, to speak and bring to remembrance everything that I have said. And when we have that infilling of the Holy Spirit within us, then we can have love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering, forbearance, temperance, self-control. See, some struggle with that self-control when you get angry, when you get disappointed, whatever it might be. But once that Holy Spirit was within us, let me tell you something, we can walk in the fruit of the Spirit. And in the fruit of the Spirit, what it's not about what to say. Fruit don't speak, do they? Have you ever heard an apple say something to you? Have you ever heard a peach say something to you? No. How do you know that it's an apple? How do you know that it's an apple? Because you can see it's an apple, right? How do you know it's a banana? Because you can see it's a banana. The banana can say all day long, I'm an apple, I'm an apple, I'm an apple. And you'll look at the banana and say, no, no, you're not. You're a banana. I can see that you're a banana. That's an apple there. But you are a banana. You can say all you want to. But you're a banana. You can say that I love Jesus all you want to. You can say that I'm a Christian all you want to. But what does people see? Mm-hmm. How you walking? How you living? How you talking? How you thinking? Are you thinking like a Christ-like person? Are you thinking like a person who is in Christ and Christ is within you? I tell y'all this all the time. Know who you are in Christ and who Christ is within you. And be real with it. And be honest with it. Examine yourself to see where you be of the faith or not. Don't be deceived, church. Don't be deceived. Be honest and know that you know that you know. Which side of the partition are you on? Which side of the partition? Are you double-minded? And the only way that you can destroy that partition is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. That's the only way you can do it. But you have to feed that inner man. Remember we talked about that inner man? You got to feed that every day. You got to feed that inner man every day. And you fight against that flesh and blood. The spirit is willing, but what? The flesh is weak. And if we don't feed the flesh, guess what? It's going to die. It's going to die. So what are you going to do, church? What are you going to do? Are you going to walk out of here still bound? Are you still going to walk out of here with a stronghold on you? That you've been doing maybe all your life? Or are you going to walk out of here free indeed? That's on you. That's your choice. You have a choice. Either to do this today or this today. Just stand up there. That's your choice. So I'm going to ask you, for the you, if you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, Christ, If you have not surrendered, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, not know about him, but have a personal relationship with Jesus. If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Amen. 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 So what some of you are doing, you're doing this. You're saying, I'm surrendering today. And then we have others saying, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Let me tell you something. When your time comes and you stand before Jesus, if you have not surrendered your life, let me tell you something, you will be remembering this service for eternity. For eternity. You'll be remembering that white flag that I've been waving for eternity in the lake of fire. Trust me on that. Trust me on that. Because God has given you an opportunity today to surrender your life to him. Regardless of what you've done, regardless of what you might believe, he's given you an opportunity today to get real with him. And this might be the last day of your life. You one heartbeat away from eternity. But what eternity are you going to go to? You're only going to go to two, heaven and hell. There's no in between. There's no gray area. Saved or unsaved. So where are you? Those who raised your hand, praise the Lord. But what I want to ask today is, who of you in here today are still bound, still got strongholds, that still have strongholds, that the enemy is still holding you strong in areas of your life that Paul says the things that I don't want to do, I still do them. The things that I do want to do, I can't do them. If that's you in here, and let's be real. And let me tell you something. Don't let that pride of life get in your way. Don't let that pride of life get in your way. If that's you, and let me tell you something. None of us is going to judge you. We can't. Nobody can throw no rocks at nobody in here. Because we all got issues. We all got stuff that we're going, struggles that we're going through. So if that's you, that you got some stuff that you cannot, and you've been trying to over and over and over and over again. You've been trying to get over, but you just can't. You can't be free indeed. If that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand up and be honest. Just stand up. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's all about being honest and real, church. We're all family here. We're all family here. We ain't going to judge you about you standing up. You know, we applaud you for being real and honest. And God is looking down on you today. He says, you know, that I can deal with. I can deal with the honesty. I can deal with the sincerity. Because I already know what they're doing. I already know. But today, they're showing me that they want to be free indeed. And that as you walk out of here today, that all that mess and all that stuff, whatever has been holding you, that POW, that spiritual strongholds, will fall off of you today, that you don't have to deal with that no longer. No longer. Father, we come before you today giving you honor, glory, and praise. Lord, we thank you for those who are standing up and being honest today. And Lord, there's some that's sitting here today that have not stood up. But Lord, you know, you can meet them where they are if they're honest and sincere in their hearts. So Lord, I pray for each and every one of us today. Because I believe that each and every one of us has something that needs to be set free and be free indeed. And for those who raise their hands to surrender their life to you today, Lord, I pray, Father God, that they will confess with their mouth and believe in their hearts that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that you died on the cross for their sins, and that you rose again on that third day, and that you're seated in heaven next to our Heavenly Father. And Lord, that they will walk in a newness of life. They will walk out of here new creations in Christ. That they will walk out of here with their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That when their time comes, and they stand before you, you will pronounce, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." So Lord, I pray, Father God, for all those of us who are standing here today, that we won't walk out of here with those strongholds, that we'll be no longer prisoners of war, that the enemy has any control or authority over us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name, and the church says, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. I want to thank each and every one of you.